Hello, it is Tuesday, April 26, 2022. We are here in Caledonia, pretty close to downtown at the historic home of Melvin Pommert, and we are with Jim Waddell and Diane Balfour?
Balfman.
Balfman Waddell. I almost got it right. It is Diane, right? Or Diana?
Diana.
I got them both wrong. I'm sorry.
He calls me that.
Diana Balfman Waddell. I stand corrected. I'm Jocelyn Marbury Toller, and this is an interview for the Caledonia Public Square Memories and Futures Project. There is a roofing job happening, so if you hear things that sound like roofing, that would be because it is happening. So, Jim, I just wanted to start us off. I know you've got tons to share, a very long history with the Temple Block building, with your grandpa, Melvin Pommert, but just tell me a little bit about where and when you were born, and then we'll get into the world you come from here in Caledonia.
I was born in Marion, Ohio. My folks owned a property out on Oak Grove Avenue. When it came time for me to go to school, my dad did not want me to go to the Marion school system because it was on the west end of the town and that was not very well received. So I ended up coming to Caledonia and living in my grandparents' home. And I went to kindergarten up here. That's when my dad and mom then bought the house across the street from here. They remodeled it, and that's where I started growing up. I spent a lot of time here with my grandfather and grandmother. A lot of history. My family has a lot of history. As you well know, the Waddell, with the Children's Home and the Waddell Foundation and the Waddell Ladies' Home. I basically closed the home and sent it into a foundation, Waddell Foundation, and we support the senior groups, one of which is the Caledonia Senior Group. We give money to them. I went to school up here in Caledonia. At that time, we had just the high school, grade school in one building. When Martel consolidated with Caledonia, they built the grade school. They also had what we call an industrial arts building up there also. We had two basketball courts up there. We had a football field, which I played football on. We had a baseball diamond. So that's pretty much my knowledge and history of what went on up north of town. As far as Caledonia is concerned, there's a lot of things that have happened over the years. As I always tell people, we had four bars, we had three grocery stores, we had a hardware store, we had a furniture store, drug store, as you all know. At the end down here was a Sohi gas station, which is now where Tim Mooney has his place. Next to it was McGlure's ice cream place. That's been torn down. We had filling station down there, which was a Sohi station. We had a foot filling station up here. We also had a filling station over across from the Corner Inn. That's been torn down. That's where the apartments are at now. As you're probably aware, up on Caledonia, there were apartments up on the square. I think that's where one of your buddies lived that you interviewed. We had a dump, and that's where the manager of the dump lived, in one of those huts up there. They were dirt floors, no running water, wasn't very nice, but my dad took care of him.
And the apartments were where the Class of 55 building is now, or they've been torn down now? When you say there were apartments on the square,
it's where the three monuments are at. Those were apartments right there.
And who lived there that I interviewed? George Kasotis?
Yes.
I thought he lived...
I think he may have lived in that for one time.
Briefly.
Yeah. But I think it was two apartments, maybe three. We had a town dump.
Where was that?
Out across the river, across the bridge, going out of town on the left.
By the river.
Mm-hmm. We had a ball diamond out there on the right. That's where I played baseball with everybody in Caledonia. That's been torn up, and now it's a field. There's just so much history, but it all went away when they took 309 out of Caledonia. 309 used to run right through Caledonia, across the bridge and out. And my grandmother and I used to sit on the front porch and count the cars. Once 309 went out of town, everything just went away. The three grocery stores basically went away. The drugstore went away. We had four bars, of course. One of them burnt down. Jim Haas closed his, and that's where the Legion's at now. And he built the one out here on 309, and that's now been shut down. I don't know what else. Ask me some questions. I can tell you some other issues. So,
well, to give some context, if you wouldn't mind saying, what year were you born in Marion?
I was born in 45.
45. And about what year did your family send you here to live with Mr. Pommard?
About 1950.
Okay, so you were here before 309, when the road came through town.
Oh, yeah.
So you saw kind of the glory days on the square.
Correct.
So tell me a little bit about coming from Marion to moving here. You were about 5 or 6, right before school?
I was 4 years old.
Four years old. What was it like moving from Marion out here to Caledonia?
Nothing. My memory about that was not good. I remember playing over there and getting hit in the head
in Marion
and having stitches put in my head. But my dad worked at Tecumseh Products. My grandfather lived in Marion, and he ran Home Federal Savings and Loan.
This was on the Waddell side?
Yes. But I remember a few things I did in Marion, but not a lot.
And when you came here, you came by yourself, and your dad and your family stayed in Marion.
Yeah, my dad and mom stayed in Marion.
They came to see you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'd come over here for all the time. I mean, they were back and forth. My aunt Pat Pummert Warnke, Earl Warnke, was the music director at the high school when I was growing up. But Earl Warnke married Pat Pummert, my mom's sister. She grew up in this house. My mom did too. One time, my grandfather, when he bought this, lived over on High Street.
Water Street.
Lived on Water Street.
Yeah. And tell me a little bit about moving in with your grandparents. Was your grandma alive too at the time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you moved in with your grandparents. What were they like, and were they active shopkeepers at the time, or had Melvin already retired?
No, he was active shopkeeper. He still had the grocery store. Yeah, I can remember going up there just briefly. It kind of changed a little bit. They actually walked in the side door here, and his counter ran this way. So it's changed quite a bit
in the store.
So that window on the square where it looks like there was a door and a window, everyone used to tell me, yeah, right here, that there was another shop. So was that the entrance?
One of the entrances was back here.
Back by the safe.
Yeah, this is the other entrance here. There were two entrances.
And then that was my great-grandpa Warren who tore it all out and made it into one big store, right?
Correct.
So your grandpa sold it to my great-grandpa Warren.
No, my grandfather sold it to Bernard Lyons.
And he had a shop, too.
And Bernard Lyons sold it to your grandfather.
Why did your grandpa get out of the shopkeeping business?
I don't know, really. I mean, I think he was getting tired of it. He went into the shoe business. He ran Hanover Shoe business in Marion, Hanover Shoes, and then went to Euler's. Was it Euler's? I can't remember the other shoe store. But anyways, he sold shoes for years. So
he wasn't like retirement age. He was just ready to switch things up.
You see Charles Pummert? That was his brother, I believe. And he sold shoes here in Caledonia.
So when you moved in with your grandparents, tell me what you got involved with in Caledonia. What was life like
Sports.
For you as a kid?
Never left the village. Wasn't allowed to. There used to be a bus that'd come here and pick kids up at the Dairy Queen and take them all over to the roller rink in Marion.
Convenient.
I wasn't allowed to do that. So what I did is everything in Caledonia. I played basketball. My dad built me a basketball court. I lived across the street over here. I had a basketball court, and that's where everybody came. The Midoffs, the Hunts, the McGlures, the Keitlingers, the Shears, everybody, Detwilers, was over here. Everybody.
And at the time, were there a lot of young people in Caledonia?
Yeah, there's quite a few. Yeah.
And tell me a little bit, I mean, pick a time, I don't know, before your teenage years, before you're 15 or so, and before the highway gets rerouted. Can you take us in your mind's eye, or we can look at pictures, on a kind of walk through downtown, what was in each storefront? Like building by building, like we take the Underwood building or the Class of 55 building or the Union. You want to start at the Union block? I would just.
Well,
be
you
curious.
Know, if I start here, that was Shockley's drugstore.
And the Masonic, and the Mason building.
They were upstairs.
Yep. So Shockley was on the corner. And then the middle was originally Warren Reese's, but then when you came, it was something else.
It was a. She knows what it was, but the one in the middle. And then the other one is where the Masonic, or the. Legion was at. That's where the Legion was always at. So Shockley's, and then Shockley's became Trout. Trout was a family member of Timson Allen. And he went up here and took over the drugstore. It was a pretty popular place to go in.
And I heard it was not, I mean, this is an old school drugstore with like the ice cream counter and the milkshakes and all of that.
Right, right.
So it was kind of like a CVS, but kind of like an Isley's.
Yeah, I mean, they... Yeah, that was where Diane went, and that's where we met. But
you met at Shockley's?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was Trout then, wasn't it?
I think so.
How old were you at the time?
19.
Yeah.
18, 19.
What were you doing in Caledonia?
I had left home and was living with my aunt and uncle over here.
So you were a Caledonia kid in your own way, too?
After graduation. Not
so,
after I graduated.
A Caledonia teenager.
Yes. I 18 and
19,
yep, and then that was it,
of
the teenage years.
But if you go up here on the square and you go that way, that's Grapple's store. And then next to this building was the barber. That building's all been torn down now, but there was a barber there. On the alley was a garage. They repaired trucks and stuff. That was his reputation. Then on down was the Corner Inn. That's what burnt down.
And tell me what the Corner Inn was. It was an
That's
inn?
A bar.
It was a bar, okay.
Yeah.
But between the garage, or was there a garage there, and the Corner Inn was a barber.
Well, the barber was in this area, but I can't quite remember where.
And I know George Cassotis talked about having the Pleasant Inn. That was where his mom and dad, you know, serve farmers, ham sandwiches, all that, and that was in the parking lot, what's now the parking lot of Reese's Market. Was that kind of near the barber shop, or was it the same place?
Similar areas.
He left in 42, and I think maybe it was torn down, or it was sold.
It wasn't there when I
okay.
I grew up.
What about the Union Block? What was the library
No.
At that point, that was Garber's sister.
That's Garber's.
Okay.
Garber's, and then next to it was the pizza place, but it was more than it was a restaurant, actually.
The Arm Brewsters?
Yes.
Like hamburgers?
Yeah, everything. And then next to that was Jim Haas's bar, which is now, well, next to that was May's Hardware Store.
So May's originally just had one storefront?
Correct.
And then which one was it, the far one or the middle one?
Middle one.
Oh,
then
okay.
Next to that was where Jim Haas's bar was at.
What was that one called?
Jim Haas. That's all I know. And then on down was the other bar. Take a left. Then the other bar was there.
Like next to Camo Cafe or?
Yeah.
Or in Camo Cafe?
In the cafe.
Okay.
But in between there, there was a woman that sold ice cream cones. Going up.
What about where the bank is now? Was there? I saw some pictures. I thought there used to be an old building there, an old bank.
That's where the bank was at.
But it was not the same building.
No, they tore it down, built a new one.
So there was an old one that looks kind of like the other downtown buildings
right.
at that time. Okay.
Yeah.
What about in Carol Alt's building, the Class of 55 building? What was there when
Over
you were
here?
There? Yeah.
That was Dowson Company, and next to that was Freeman's.
Freeman's TV and appliances.
Mm-hmm.
What did Dowson Co. do?
Insurance company.
Okay. So more like, kind of like white collar and retail sort of
home
services.
Home and car. You worked there for a while.
I was phone, I took messages for him, Lowell Bell's.
But he lived down here on the right-hand side, the house, almost to the end.
So it was kind of a traditional office environment.
Yes, right. I basically, this was an office in this location that he came to just to check messages and stuff. He had an office, his main office, I think, was in there.
Marion Hill.
Were you guys upstairs or downstairs?
Downstairs.
What was upstairs at the time?
Apartments.
Okay.
The Detwalers lived up there. The one of the brothers that I knew.
These are all kind of the old gang that would play sports together?
Yeah.
What about the Underwood building? Right here on the corner, the one that's got the Taekwondo now. Was that Sickles at the time or not yet?
Oh, Sickles.
IGA.
That's the IGA store, yeah.
So that was the IGA as long as you guys have known it?
Yes. Sickles and...
What was upstairs? Always apartments?
Apartments.
Okay. I think that was where Warren G. Harding's dad had the Argus originally, upstairs in that building. The newspaper?
Really?
We used to have a little newspaper called the Caledonia Argus, and I think the offices were...
Could have been.
Upstairs.
Warren G. Harding grew up over here. His dad had his... Dr. Harding had his place down here to my... I own the building behind it. That's the blacksmith shop. Caledonia Blacksmith. To the south of it is where Harding's dad, Dr., had his office, which has now been turned down. I own all that back there.
Wow. And the blacksmith shop is a historic blacksmith shop?
Yes.
And you have it all restored?
No.
But that's the dream?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's being used right now by my neighbor to keep his lawnmower in, but...
Okay.
I have the old anvil down there. It's about like this. You couldn't lift it. I still have all the stuff on the wall where you...
The racks where they held up, where they... with their different size horseshoes.
I have a stove down there.
Hot belly stove.
Yeah.
A lot of the history sitting right there. So,
yeah.
So tell me, both of you guys, if you want to, what was the culture like on the square? You moved here, you said, in 50?
45.
50. So, a lot of your memory, probably what you can remember, is 50s, 60s. What was the square like on an average weekend night before the highway got routed? Just paint a picture of, like, the culture on the square.
Hot rods, squealing tires, racing out that way, racing down this way.
It's like it is now.
Yeah. They'd sit up there and squeal tires and play the music in the cars and...
This was like the time of stock hops and American graffiti, but in Caledonia.
A lot of guys would sit up there with their girlfriends, you know, but that was the place to be if you had a car, and they'd all sit up there together and play the music and squeal tires. And we had a marshal, if you're aware of that. Caledonia had its own marshal.
What is a marshal exactly?
A policeman.
But they lived here.
He lived here. Was under the village's control.
The first one I remember is Fink.
Fink. Ed Fink was one of them.
And from that point on, it was...
But she should have all that history. My dad kept a lot of that up there in file cabinets. I'd be glad. You know, I was mayor for a while. Did you know that?
I sat
on the village council, and I was the mayor for 4 years here. But my dad was the clerk treasurer of this village long before Jerry Miracle. And he kept a lot of history up there. And they were in the file cabinets, and I accumulated all that.
So we should have that at Village Hall now.
Yes.
Amazing. We got to go digging.
I know the file cabinets that are in, if they're still there. And I gave them a lot of stuff, too, that was my family's here, that I felt I wanted to maintain it. So that was a place for me to put it.
I know there's a lot of... April and I have been talking. We'd love to get a museum going. We could get a grant to fix up the upstairs at Village Hall and make it ADA accessible. I think there's a lot of interest in that.
Well, I went up there and cleaned that up, but that's about all I could do. No one really wanted to bring anything back.
It's a beautiful space.
Oh, yeah.
When you guys were teenagers, was there programming upstairs above the Village Hall?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stuff?
Music.
Like concert bands, that sort of
thing? Dance hall type
thing. Well, back in you. Grandpa Plummer's day, they was vaudeville. They up on the stage. They had a canvas backdrop that looked like a village, a street with the street scene. And whatever happened to that, I don't know.
Like, but a lot of those pictures are still up there, so, you know, if you went through the file cabinets, you ought to be able to find that stuff. But my dad was the clerk treasurer for a long, long time, and he really ran the village.
I would love, maybe we can ask April, and we can go up there and do a tour and dig through some stuff, because I think all of this to be able, and those photos to be able to scan and put on a website, because well, I think
there's a lot of that
together.
Up there. It's just a matter of hunting for it, but
yeah.
Hopefully no one threw it away.
In the 50s, 60s, what was the best thing to eat in downtown Caledonia for both of you? Sounded like we had a lot of options for restaurants, or was it mostly just Armbrusters and the bars, ice cream?
Well, we had the grocery stores. Reese's sold the best meat in town. People would come from all over the county to go to Reese's for the meat.
So the other grocery stores, like Stickles, or when your Grandpa Palmart had the store, they weren't necessarily serving, they weren't butchers, they're serving their own meat. They were just more canned groceries, so that was kind of a thing only.
Yeah.
Well, Grandpa Palmer had a meat.
Yeah, he had
his own. If they would come for his meat, because he would cut a steak,
yeah,
and bring it home for you guys, and mm-hmm. Grandma would cook it up, and you and Grandpa would sit there and sop up the juices from the meat that she had, after she had fried it in a skillet, iron skillet. Well, then it'd tell it, kind of drippings, and she'd put water in it, and then they would decide on who's going to get the most of it, and Grandma usually let Jim have it.
Actually, see, my mother worked at Euler's in the office, and my dad worked for Tecumseh Products. So, and my dad didn't want me to go to Marion City School System. He went there. And the west end of the town of Marion was not the best reputation.
What school was it? Was it Silver Street or?
I don't even know the name of it anymore.
Oh.
But it's hot on Oak Grove. It's clear
out.
I don't
know what school district that was, Oak Grove.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do a lot of work on the west side.
Only,
so I was like, probably not.
Only had a grade school.
But anyways, my dad didn't want me to go to the city grade school because they were not well respected and they weren't really. The big kids would beat up on the little kids coming out of there. Didn't treat them very nice. So, and my dad went to Harding, grew up in Harding, so he knew all that. But going back to Caledonia, are you aware that there was a train station up here?
Yes, but I didn't know it would have been in your time.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the depot, but I'm not that much as you
know. Yeah, the train station, and of course we had two tracks, and the train would stop there and pick people up and take them different areas.
Where could you ride it? Like straight to Galleon or?
Galleon, Marion.
Because Galleon was like the big train hub, right?
Right. But Caledonia had their own up there. That was, and that's all been torn out now.
When did that go out, do you think?
Oh, geez.
Like 70s?
60s, 70s probably.
That's a bummer. Imagine what it would be like if you could get on a train passenger. I mean, we have no passenger rail left
anyway.
How cool would that be to ride a train from Marion to Galleon, you know?
We took one of the last ones out of.
It stopped up here.
Yeah.
Or did we have to go to Marion?
Marion, I know.
Tell me what you mean. You took one of the last passenger trains?
Yeah.
Went from here to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Stayed all night and came home. So.
Got on in Caledonia?
I don't think so. I think we got on in
Marion,
but.
Wow.
That's all disappeared now, as you all know.
Yeah.
But that's
pictures up there.
Yeah, they should
have
all that.
Up here.
But that's a train depot up there. Then on this side is where the fire department was at. And then coming forward is where the post office was at. And you go that way, and that's the town hall. And then back there was the jail. Have you been in the jail yet?
I have not been sent to the jail yet. No.
That's in town hall.
I've seen it.
It's all in that same building.
Yeah.
Back at the back.
It's kind of like a little consolidated, like a municipal hub. Everything's right in there.
It's a one-room jail. I mean, but like I say, we had our own marshal, and he would pick people up and get them for various things.
He was okay with the tire squealing and the car sitting.
Bink.
Yeah.
Marshal Bink.
But a lot of that history stuff is up there.
What happened for you guys after the 50s? You guys met at the...
We met in the
60s. Or the 60s, okay.
Yeah.
So what happened after you met or after you graduated high school?
I was going to Ohio Northern. and we got married my junior year.
So you were coming back a lot to Caledonia?
Oh, yeah.
Or did you live here and commute?
No. High in Northern, we rented an apartment. I lived in the dorm for 2 years, and we got married and lived in an apartment up there. And then after I graduated from college, I went to Port Clinton and went to work for a CPA up there.
So you studied accounting?
Mm-hmm. And then after I left up there, I came back and ran the savings and loan in Marion for 15 years.
Was that a credit union or a regular bank?
It was a federal savings and loan.
Something different.
And they don't have them anymore. The government shut them all down.
So kind of like a credit union, but it was the government?
Yeah, it was a,
I'm struggling.
It's a federal savings and loan. It's where people took out their home loans and where they put their deposits. We made more loans than anyone in this part of the country.
So
savings
home loans.
Yeah.
Wow.
We made home loans.
But they don't exist anymore.
They don't exist anymore.
So you ran that, and did you guys live in Marion at the time?
Yes.
When did you start thinking about coming back to Caledonia?
Basically, after I left the savings loan, went to work for McDaniels and ran that for 25 years.
Was that an accounting firm?
McDaniel Automotive.
Oh, okay.
Cadillac, Pontiac, GMC, Toyotas.
You were their books guy?
Yeah, I ran both of them for a while, and then we consolidated, and I just became the accountant, but I was part owner of it. So, and I retired from there, and I don't know, I guess 10 years ago.
Jeez.
And we moved. I bought this and remodeled it, and this is where we're at today.
So most of your adult life, you guys really lived in Marion.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
What was your relationship to Caledonia like over all those years when you were at?
My mom and dad.
Oh, okay.
My grandfather and grandma.
They all still live here.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. My mom and dad lived across the street. Grandma and Grandpa Pummer lived here, and we spent a lot of time. We spent our Christmases right in here. And they were very good to us, so.
This house is gorgeous. Can you tell me a little bit about the history of it? Did Melvin Pummer buy it from someone else?
Yeah, he bought it, but I can't tell you.
Was this 1850s, or?
Yeah.
Gorgeous house.
1934, he bought it.
Yeah. And we've done a lot of work in here. I mean, I wallpapered, painted, did it all.
And it went out of the family, but then you got it back.
Never left the family.
Oh, okay.
My grandpa and grandma had it. And when they passed away, my mom took it over, sat empty for a couple years. And we made a decision. We wanted it. And they gave it to us.
Congratulations.
And that's when we came in. We sold our home in Marion. And our two sons went to school at Pleasant. I went to school at River Valley. Our grandchildren now go to River Valley. But we came over here and remodeled it, and we enjoy it.
So how, since you both grew up here somewhat, or, you know, later in your end of your childhood, how did you guys see Caledonia change over the years, from the 60s till when you moved back, and what did you make of that?
Well, what I'm seeing is there's not as many young kids, not as many children that I was accustomed to, but a lot of older people, a lot of them, wives are still alive, and the husband passed away. I mean, you can look around here and see Bob Nargo and Dixie. Dixie was a Detwaller, as was Johnny, or Bill Detwaller down here. He was married to Debbie Clark.
So her dad was with National City,
yes,
I believe.
Right. But, you know, it's an older community.
If the youth is here, they're inside.
And that's like a larger cultural change too, right? Not just that.
Well, these cell phones have created some issues.
Cell phones and games. But
anyways, I look at Caledonia, it's kind of laid back, quiet little community. I don't have a problem with that. I went to In Marion, I kind of started the land bank. I don't know if you're familiar with the land bank. Or
yeah, not. I'm actually doing a, I'm not doing a project with them, but I'm doing a project that's connected to that. So I'm working with an organization that's helping rehab a couple of houses on Creston Street that were land bank houses.
Yeah, well, I started, I became very active and got it started with Don Davis.
Who was he?
Don was the head of the land bank that I got him involved, and he became the manager of the land bank. And I brought the land bank idea to Marion.
Where did you hear about it?
Out of Cleveland. And at first it wasn't well respected, but finally I had organized a big meeting of commissioners and everybody, and they decided to go ahead. And of course, the state set up a fund, a lot of money, to tear down houses. And I had three of them torn down here in the village.
Why was the land bank idea important to you?
Because houses were sitting empty, and the banks were not foreclosing on them. We had two houses in Caledonia that sat empty for almost 15 years. People would go in there at night and strip out all the plumbing, all the heating, all the interior doors, all the lighting, all the electrical stuff. Took the floor out, one up here, and no one's going to buy that. And there were mortgages on them, and the land bank came in and foreclosed on them, took them over, and had them torn down. And I had three of them torn down in the village. Marion was a little slow. They still haven't really done what I thought they should do. As I always tell people, if I had a vacant house next to me where a tarp was on it and the windows were busted in it, that was the house next to my house, and one behind it was the same way, and one across the street. What do you think my house is worth? Would you buy that house with three houses around you like that? I don't think so. And that's why I tried to talk to the county commissioners and the land bank, and Don Davis started getting the county to foreclose on these properties, but it took them a long time. But now they've run out of money. The state cut the money off, so now we've got to find another way to do it. But there's still a lot of bad properties in Marion County, and a lot of them sit on the West End.
Well, and I know they're doing, I was just at a housing coalition meeting with, I think Evie Ward Cummings at Regional Planning is doing a lot of that. And I know they did have that big, they had Phil Downing come out, and they did a big consultation, and they set a bunch of principles. I know blight was announced as the priority for the chamber. So there, I mean.
I was president of the chamber.
So you're like, I've seen this all. So you can say that it's slow because you've seen it for decades and not happen very fast.
Right.
So land bank stuff, was that an idea you brought like in the 70s, 80s, 90s?
Well, it came out of Cleveland. And
I just thought it was more recent. I didn't realize we'd had one for a while.
Probably, 10 or 15 years at the most.
Wow.
But I got Don Davis involved with the county commissioners. I finally talked the chamber into getting involved. Very slow. But if you drive around the West End of Marion, you'll see a lot of dilapidated property.
There's a big, one of the organizations I work with is Black Heritage Council of Marion, and they have a project called Emoja Blight to Beauty, and they're working on getting those houses. Black Heritage Council will fix them up to own them, and then will be renting them out as affordable housing. But they're working on one on Creston right now, and I'm actually working on an oral history project with Black Heritage Council about the histories of some of those houses. So I think if you came to the West Side, you would be excited. Two of the buildings that used to be banks, you know, sitting right along Kenton,
mm-hmm.
Peace and Freedom Commission that does the Martin Luther King breakfast, they just got that, and it's a community center. My office is actually going to be based out of that building now. So there's a lot of nonprofits that are sort of saying, we can revitalize this, and we can put in community gardens. So I think in 5 years, at least around MLK Park, Senate, Cast, I think there's a lot happening there right now,
yeah.
Which is exciting.
Yes, it is.
Probably slower than you would have liked to have seen it.
Right.
But, I mean, I think with a lot of communities, right, like communities are hard hit and don't have the funds to do the rehab, kind of like what we're seeing on the square. The buildings need a lot of work, and if people can't figure out how to get that up, then you can't have storefronts, and then
right.
Things just kind of sit. But tell me a little bit for you guys, I know you were really involved, right, in public life in Marion. You've got two foundations involved with the land bank. Once you came back to Caledonia, what are some of the things you were involved in, whether government-wise or...
I sit on the fire board. I sit on village council. I became the mayor.
But when did you become mayor?
I can't even tell you the years.
When did you guys move back?
It was before Maureen. So you were mayor before her.
You guys moved back in what year?
We moved back here in, the house was being worked on for us, renovating and stuff. So we actually moved into the house in 92.
So you've been here a while.
Yeah.
Most of my life.
Yeah, we enjoy it. It's quiet.
You were on village council, ran for mayor, fire board. Were you ever involved in any of the fraternal organizations? Like Masons, Pythians, Oddfellows?
I'm a member of the Masons, but not here in Caledonia.
Oh, okay.
I'm in 70 in Marion, because that's the Masonic Lodge that my grandfather and my grandmother and...
And the Shriners in Marion.
Yeah, I was president of the Shriners in Marion.
We've never had Shriners here, right?
No. Shriners was a Marion County organization, and it was pretty large. I was president of the Shriners, I was president of the Chamber, I was chairman of the Adam Board. You know what the Adam Board is?
Like Adam Age now, same thing?
Probably.
Like drug, mental health, recovery?
Mm-hmm. I was chairman of that.
Pretty involved.
I became pretty involved. But you get to the point in your age, and that's what I tell people right now, these old politicians need to walk away. Nancy Pelosi needs to retire.
She just texted me the other day. How'd you get my number, Nancy?
It's, you know, Joe Biden, his mental capacity is slipping. So I just think, you know, I got to the point in my life where I'm going to enjoy what I have. We bought a condo up on Lake Erie, so...
You told me that. That's awesome.
We go up there.
What town?
Portland.
Portland. Beautiful.
You can turn that off if you want.
Sure. Can I ask a few more?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm curious, again, you guys were away from Caledonia for a while, but kept coming back, and big, big changes happened in the public square, 70s, 80s. What impact was... Were you guys here when the highway got rerouted?
Oh, I was.
Tell me about what that was like and how you saw that change things.
I was young when that happened, so it's... I mean, she wasn't around when they did it.
No. I used to come over, though. Dad would bring us over to Caledonia to watch the movies up on the square.
Outside Garber's?
Yeah.
What was that like?
We'd bring our snacks, popcorn or whatever, and sit, you know, have either on a blanket on the pavement or... We didn't come over that much, but he saw
we used to have them every year, though. We'd have a big carnival up here.
Farmers Festival.
With
your mom and dad was king and queen one year.
Mm-hmm.
You were holding out on me. You didn't tell me that.
We had a lot going on up on the square at one time.
Festivals, all that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any particular festivals you remember?
Not really. I mean, you can see here. There's 1961, 1980, 78. Back then we had
Veterans Day. There was always be the march out to the cemetery, the Legion. But the Farmers Festival, they used to bring the school band, and there would be a parade through town. The Centennial. I can't even remember what year that was.
If you look at the back of here, it'll tell you some of the things that were in Caledonia.
These are the sponsors of the festival.
Yeah.
That's a lot of things. Cochrane Pig Palace. Hardee's.
That was Kazee's shell up here.
Oh, that's right.
Kazee's. I don't know. We just had a lot going on at one time, but it became very quiet.
Pretty soon after the highway got moved?
Yeah, it changed everything.
You and Grandma Lane still on the front porch and count the cars.
Yeah.
before the highway went bypass.
So I was the only child, my mom, dad. I was the only child, and both of them worked, and we had a babysitter in Marion. I used to torment her a lot. But when it became time to go to school, my dad did not want me to go to the west end of Marion to a school. So I came over here, and that's when they bought the house 1 year, and I grew up over in that house. So that's when my dad became village council, village clerk.
How long was he clerk for?
Long time. 25 years, maybe more. All the history setting up there, I mean, someone ought to sit down with you and go through that stuff up there.
I nominate you.
Because that's, you know, because there's a lot of history up there.
Let's make an appointment. I would love that. And I think my question is, part of what we're doing this project, I think, is people have such, everyone I've talked to has had such amazing, vibrant memories of all of this life on the downtown square, the festivals, the parades, the outhouses at Halloween that we keep hearing about. And one thing we heard at the farmer's market over and over last summer is people were so excited that something was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for so long they felt like, oh, Caledonia's dead, there's nothing happening. Did you guys ever have the sense that the downtown was dying or was in danger? I know we've had a lot of vacancies.
That concerned me more than anything else, is the vacancies.
When did that start, like 70s or?
As soon as your grandfather closed the store.
Oh, that was 2010. But I think some of them, right, were vacant. Like the IGA was probably vacant a while before that. And
yeah.
The Mason building.
You know, Dowson Company was gone. Yeah. It was after Lowell died.
I think Reese's Market was one of the last, it was the last one to go, but I think it was still like half vacant at that point, probably in 2010. But,
you
yeah.
Take the drugstore, that was a pretty popular place for me. I mean, they sold comic books, they sold ice cream, you could go and buy bubble gum, the baseball cards, you know, with five cards in it with a piece of bubble gum. That's what I remember about that. But
and good ice cream?
Just, you know, like
yeah.
A fountain. It was a, what do you call it, soda fountain. Like
yeah.
You'd make.
There's a lot that went around.
And stuff, but
once the 09 went out of town, everything just kind of went the other way pretty quickly.
I think that's happened with a lot of smaller villages, small towns, trying to get bypassed.
See, I told you before, we had a Catholic church. Has anyone told you that yet?
You did. Where did they meet?
Up on
the corner going out of town. I don't know.
Well, the Nazarene Church is up on the corner. That was the Nazarene Church.
Going out
the
of
road
town.
That goes out of town this way.
Caledonia Northern?
Yeah.
It's the one that someone lives in now?
Yeah.
Correct.
Someone lives in both of them.
The one that's missing the stairs?
Correct.
That's which one?
That was the Nazarene, and Caddy Corner was the Catholic Church on the corner. It's a cute little house.
It's a house?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Would I know that it was
a church? It's oblong.
Oh, that's the giveaway.
They've got a double car garage.
And then across the street from that was a barber. We had three barbers in town. The barber up north of town, up by the church up there, is the one I went to that time, and he gave me a Don Eagle, unbeknownst to my mom and dad.
Like from the Eagles?
The Don Eagle. Just the strip down the top of your head.
Oh.
Everything else was shaved off. I think my Aunt Pat put him up to that. I was fairly young when that happened.
Needless to say, Jim's mother went up there and talked to the barber after the fact.
Amazing. Yeah.
But that was in a high school up there too. I mean, we had two gymnasiums when I went to school here. Played a lot of basketball up there, a lot of baseball, a lot of football. 6-man, 8-man football is what I played.
What happened to the park? I know you mentioned there had been ball fields out there past the bridge, and that all was torn out.
That wasn't a park. That was just a ball diamond. Just a baseball diamond that somehow it got set up.
But Anselmet was the only park, really?
Yeah, up north. Yeah.
Do you know anything about, I've heard there was a lot of scandal around a pool that people fundraised for. Well, at one point, did you ever hear about any of that?
That was going on when they had the Farmers Festival, and the proceeds that they made off the Farmers Festivals, they were going to put a pool in up at the park.
What happened?
Don't know.
But no pool.
Mm-hmm. That gets pretty challenging, too, to put a pool in.
A lot of costs. The other thing I wanted to ask about, I don't know if you were ever a part of any of this, might have been when you guys were in Marion. I know at one point, Charlie Romine was involved in this. We got the bridge brought over, the Bowstring, and there's, you know, that 35 acres of park that's inaccessible on that other side of the river.
That was the Boy Scout camp.
And at one point, the village owned it and got, had I think, had a big grant to try to fix the bridge and make that accessible. Was that in your time? Or
yes. I used to go back there and camp, and that's where the Boy Scouts used to camp out.
How would you get there?
Wade across the dam.
There was never, like, an easy way over.
You could go in the back way, well, that way, but my dad used to take me up there a lot, and we used to go up there and swim a lot.
In the Whetstone?
Yeah, as the river goes up. We used to go up there and swim a lot, but, you know, there was two churches, there was a barber up there. Of course, that was a ball diamond out there. Across the street was the dump. I used to go out there and shoot rats with my dad.
Not one.
There was a circus out there.
Yes, that was years. That was when my mom was growing up out there on the island. That was actually a carnival out there.
Like permanent?
Permanent.
Tell me more. I don't know what that means.
I know very little about it, other than there was a, if you go out that way, there's kind of a raised part of ground, and there was a carnival there. You know, I'm sure there's something up there that would show that.
So is that the same area then that later turned into the dump?
Yes.
Which is there on that curve as you go on it. But now the Bowstring Bridge used to be here, correct?
In California?
Yes.
No, it was from Eskeville.
Okay,
no.
So I was wrong on that one.
They brought it in maybe 70, it was listed in 78, and I think they brought it around 77, 78.
I was hoping that they would do something with it, but they decided not to, so...
Well, I've talked to Evie at Regional Planning a little bit. I mean, the commissioners have a lot of ARPA money they're sitting on. I think if we could ask for and get ARPA money and fix up that bridge and get the park accessible, it probably would take more than
if
what
you
the commissioners
to, if,
have.
If Stuyvesant and the Applefeller would get involved, you might get some stuff done.
You
know Andy?
I don't know him personally. I'm going to be asking them for, like I said, I've got to go pitch tomorrow at the regional planning meeting to ask for some help on, you want me to turn it off? Pause?
So are we about done?
It's up to you. I did want to ask you, can you just, I know we're jumping around in time, but can you share more about your Grandpa Plummer's shop and what he sold and what it was like? I know that was a lot of it before you got here, but I'd just love to hear more about it if you want to.
Well, it was a grocery store, but he sold a lot of other things other than just groceries.
Like what?
Clothes. But, you know, I was fairly young when I went up there, so I remember once I almost got hit by a vehicle up there going across the street. But I don't remember a lot about it. I was too young when he had it, so... I really can't tell you a lot about it.
If I may say so, when we took over this home, that was in 92, the house was just like Grandpa and Grandma had was here yesterday. And so we had a lot to go through. And in going through the items, he had a filing system, which was from the store.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had kept it.
I know.
It was a box, but bigger than a shoebox. But anyway, and it was the file, alphabetical order, and it was metal. And it was just like you could pull a tab B, and it would be everyone's last name in that worked with Grandpa at the store or kept an account with Grandpa at the store. And going through it, it was all handwriting. It wasn't typed, it was handwriting, and his writing, and Grandma's. But anyway, say you had an account there, and you were a farmer, and you grew your potatoes, so you would take your potatoes after they've been harvested and taken there, and Grandpa would buy them to sell, and on your account you had a credit. Or whether he paid cash, I don't, you know, I didn't really know, but it showed a credit. And so it was the whole surrounding people that had an account with him. Plus, it was his handwriting.
That's amazing.
It got sold at the sale, and I would love to know who got it, what they did with it, or to get it back.
It's very strange that someone would buy someone else's, something so important to your family.
It was, this house was full of things from the 20s and 30s.
You guys didn't have a choice but to sell it at auction, the inside of the house?
Well, we had a home in Southern Estates at the time, and when the reason we got it was his mom and dad, Jim's mom and dad, had plans of moving into it. But his dad came over and dinked around after he retired and lost, and then he got a little ill and lost interest. So it sat empty, and it became a storage place for his aunt that brought things down, whatever. So like I said, a lot of the stuff that's in the home now was Grandpa and Grandma's, like this rocker, that chair. The couch wasn't, but stuff. And his mom looked at me and she said, "Why do you want this old stuff?" And I said, "Because it goes with the house." And it was Grandpa and Grandma's. So, but that filing system of his was, it was beautiful.
A lot of furniture in this place.
Amazing. You want me to pause, or can I ask you one more?
Go ahead.
I think I've got a lot more questions, and I could keep talking, but I don't want to make you guys antsy. But one thing I'd love to ask as part of the project is, what for you guys, what would you like to see for the future of the public square? What do you think is possible, and what is your dream for what it could look like in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
I know it can't be back to what it was, but if the buildings can be restored in any way to bring, you know, people back into town, but you've got to like, you have to like the hometown, the old town feeling, and I don't know whether it's out there or not. I think it is in some villages, but to get it back in Caledonia, it can't be like it was. But there's a lot of maybe people out there that has an interest in these little towns to bring some business back in. That would be nice.
What about for you, Jim? What do you think the future is of our public square? What do you think is possible? What would you like to see in 10 or 15 years?
There has to be a change of ownership of some of the properties. I had one of the properties was going to be donated to a guy, and he would have remodeled it. But instead, then, this other dance studio people came along and bought it. Now it's empty. I had that ready to go to a guy to fix it up. His name was Mike Cerny.
From here in town?
Marion. But he's a contractor. And I said, "Mike, do you want the property?" He said, "Yeah, I'll take it." Because they were just going to give it to me. And he would have fixed it up. But now it's sitting, you see the back end of it's deteriorated.
Need some help.
In the same way up here. I mean, we've got to have a change of ownership of this stuff.
And funds for rehabilitation, right?
Yeah. A lot of people have the money. It's just a matter of getting the property in the right hands.
Getting that organizing in. What do you have there?
Oh, this is... This desk right here was built in 1860. Samuel Waddell was the Justice of the Peace of Waldo. So that's all.
And he made that?
No, a guy by the name of John Lunger. A wagon maker in Waldo made it. That's how old it is. 1860.
It's incredible.
But we got a lot of stuff like that in this house.
And I can't get over this membership card. This graphic of Village Hall is amazing. Can I get a scan of this?
Yeah.
How cool would it be to make a tote bag or something with this image? Just so cool.
But we had our own Chamber of Commerce.
That is hard to believe, but amazing, right?
Here's the Ralph's Barbershop. You know where he was at, don't you?
No.
You don't?
No.
Right up here?
Oh, in the gas station.
Well,
no, he was on this side.
Yeah.
He was in the house.
In his home. Oh. And then he moved over into the, after KZ passed away, and he bought it.
Okay. I love this poem.
What was KZ's first name? Lester. Les?
Les, okay.
Yeah, Les
I never KZ. Knew what that was short for. In terms of the public square, I know we want rehab, we want money back into those buildings, reopen them. What kind of businesses do you guys think we need these days? I mean, I know back in the day we had the four bars, four churches, three grocery stores.
They were all busy.
And it's a different world with Dollar General, Walmart.
Right.
Dollar General very much took advantage of the decline of our downtown, and now they're here. So what do you guys think would go on the public square now?
I don't know, unless it'd be like just little quaint shops.
Kind of like tourists,
mm-hmm.
you know, boutique.
Because there used to be in the corner next to Trout, so they're on the corner, but back in the corner, there was a shop called All Occasions or something like that, and it was different little knickknacks and stuff. And of course, in the back they put tanning beds in, which were used, but and at one time there was some fabric shop in there too.
And the Novels had their flower shop.
Mm-hmm. Forgot about that. Yep.
Yeah.
But I don't know, just quaint little shops like some of these little towns kids now have now.
I think we could have that. I think the tourism draw for me would be the river. We mm-hmm. could get canoes or something like that. Like they have, you know,
mm-hmm.
it probably won't be the Hocking Hills, but we do have a nice river. Can I get some pictures?
You want one of them?
No. I mean, yes, but no. Do not rip that. I'm going to look at it.
He asked me what he had. Groceries. Lunch, meats, dry goods, food, everything.
And notions.
Is that Grandpa's store?
Yeah.
I want to talk through each of these things and get pictures. I'm going to end this recording for now, but before we do, is there anything you haven't gotten to share about your memories of downtown that you want on the record for now?
No.
All right, I'm going to end this recording now. We're talking with Jim Waddell and Diana Waddell. I'm still going to forget your maiden name.
That's okay, Baldwin.
Baldwin, here in Caledonia. I'm Jess Lamar, lead caller for the Caledonia Public Square Memories and Futures Project on Tuesday, April 26th. We're going to end this recording and do another one and talk through some of these amazing artifacts from Jim's archive. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Jim and Diana, for your time.
Thank you.